This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Darshan Johan. The Chipta Seni Incubator is a new artist development program for performance artists based in Malaysia. It's a 3-month program in Malaysia in which participants will receive guidance and feedback on their work. There will be mentorship and workshops culminating in a live event where participants will get to showcase their work in progress to an audience. The program will be running from May to September this year. So joining me on the show today are two of the brains behind Chipta Seni Incubator. First up is Tom Curtis. He's an international cultural worker and creative producer of contemporary performance. Tom, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm in the UK. I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
And also joining me on the show is a name you've definitely heard. She's a writer, journalist, and arts and culture critic. Sharmila Ganesan is back. Welcome back, Sharmila. How does it feel to be on the other side of the interview?
I know. It feels really quite odd. I'm really glad I get to experience the Darshan Johan interview. But I'm also really excited because I get to talk about the stuff I've been doing since I left BFM.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have you back. Very eager to talk to both of you. Okay, so before we talk about Chipta Seni Incubator, let's just start by getting to know each of you. Tom, could you share a little bit about your background, what you do, and your passion for the arts?
Yeah, of course. So you gave me a lovely introduction there. So I've been most recently working on a big festival project in the UK called Leeds 2023, which has been a year of culture. A year is a very long time, but we've had a brilliant time celebrating culture in all the different ways and forms. So I've been the cultural international program manager there for a while. And then running alongside that, I do lots of different projects supporting artists in different ways, normally as their producer, but managing tours and creative development projects as well.
Sharmila, for the benefit of those who don't know you, tell me a bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I have largely worked in the media and I've largely done arts writing, arts criticism and generally covering arts in Malaysia and the region for up to about 15 years now. I used to work at The Star. Actually, must be more than 15 years. But what is time? Anyway, I used to work at The Star. And then, of course, I was with BFM for 6 years. And then since then, I have been doing a couple of different things. I work as content manager for a foundation now, but alongside that, I'm also working on the Chipta Seni Incubator, which we're going to talk about in detail, I'm sure.
Yeah, very exciting project. So what is Chipta Seni Incubator? How did the idea come about? And how did y'all, because Tom, you're in the UK, Sharmila, you are Malaysia. How did y'all meet and come up with this idea?
So Tom and I know each other from the Global Cultural Relations platform, which is an EU-funded platform and a program that we were both selected for a couple of years ago. And so that's where I met him, first in Istanbul, and then we were in Brussels for another program, for a follow-up to that. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I feel like we formed a really nice connection. The program itself also allowed us to not just get to know each other's work, but each other's value systems and how we think about the arts. The Chipta Seni Incubator was an idea that came about, at least for me, partly actually because of my time at BFM, because the word incubator is borrowed from the startup incubator system. And I've always thought that in Malaysia, we kind of lack a solid creative development process. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had, similar to the startup incubator, a kind of incubator space for artists and creatives who want to work on an idea, but in a space that allows them to fail and to workshop and to get feedback. And I think some of this is informed by the fact that I was an arts critic, and often I almost felt like I was being slightly unfair when I did criticism of works that I knew could have been better if only they had had resources to have that kind of workshopping before it went public, right? And then that brings us to the Connections Through Culture grant, which we got through the British Council. And one of the terms of the grant is that you have to partner with someone from the UK. And honestly, I'm not saying this just because Tom's here, but he was literally the first person I thought of. And I reached out, I want to say like before 3 weeks Was it about 3 weeks before the closing, or even 2 weeks?
Didn't have long.
And I'll let Tom, I think, pick up the story in terms of why he said yes and why this appeals to him.
Yeah, Tom, how did you feel when Sharmila approached you?
Oh, I was so chuffed. I couldn't believe it when I got the message. I think I replied within seconds, Sharmila, didn't I? Say, yes, of course, let's work
yes,
something out.
Yes, many exclamation marks. I was so pleased.
It's like getting the call, you know, the call you've been waiting for. Like, yes, okay, we can do this. And then we just had some brilliant chats and Zoom calls talking about what this idea could be and what it looks like. And it was really wonderful because it took us back to, well, it took me back to particularly the time in Brussels, Sharmila, where I can just remember having really lovely talks with you about the differences and similarities between Malaysia and the UK and what we're both interested in. And I just feel that we've kind of taken that forward and shaped this wonderful program, this wonderful project now that's really informed by our own kind of journeys and what we kind of hope to see on offer for other artists as well and creative people.
And how does that process work? I'm so curious because it sounds very exciting because I think Sharmila or even Tom, right, if you're doing this project just within, let's say, collaborating with someone from your own country, and I think that's exciting in and of itself, but this is like an international collaboration. So what's that process like and how exciting or even challenging has it been to put it all together?
We're like in the thick of it still and we haven't even gotten to the meat of it. So I'm a little hesitant to jinx anything. So far, it's been great. I think because I genuinely feel like I've learned so much from Tom, his experience. I think in doing stuff that's very different from me, how to put a budget together, how to write a proposal for a grant, you know, these are skills that you need a fair amount of lived experience to be able to do well. And so I think inadvertently, because really I was drawn in the beginning to Tom's enthusiasm and energy and his love for the arts. But I think I inadvertently stumbled on someone who also had exactly the skills that maybe I lack or the experiences that I don't think that I'm still learning.
That's very sweet, Sharmila. But I also think the reason it's been such a joy so far is that we're both very open and we're both very curious. And it's been such a learning journey for both of us. So I'm learning so much from Sharmila as well. Like, it's just wonderful. And just each time we have an email exchange, I'm just accumulating more knowledge and going, oh, yeah, this is how we should do it in the future. And we're working it out together. And it's really I think it comes to that curiosity, having that innate curiosity and wanting to do something wonderful together. Working in partnership is a big part of this.
Absolutely. Now, I was just going to say, can I just say that the challenges, though, is obviously time zones. Like, Tom is constantly having to wake up at like 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. And then he's always calling me out for like, why are you replying messages at 3 a.m.? But yes, I think and Zoom has been a lifesaver.
Let's talk about the nitty-gritty of this program. Obviously, y'all are targeting artists to join the program, but is there like a specific type of artist, demographic, and how are y'all approaching? Who would y'all like to join this program?
It's really, really open as a program. We've deliberately tried to keep it really, really open. The one thing that we are asking people to think about is their creative idea and is their creative practice performance-based? So that could be anything from theatre, dance, magic, storytelling. We're really, really open to what that looks like. But the kind of criteria is that expression of art requires a live audience to experience it. Right. So that's what we're looking for. If that's kind of your bag and that's your skill set and what you're wanting to create, then this could be an opportunity, a really exciting opportunity for you to come and test out some ideas. But otherwise, you know, there are a few other criteria around age. We're asking for people to be over 18 and to commit to some key dates and some key sessions. But otherwise, we can be really, really flexible and open.
We've had a few people, I think, reach out also to just ask, what do you mean by you need to have an idea? So maybe it's worth talking about that a little bit. We're also taking a very loose approach to that, to be honest. You know, for example, if you're a scriptwriter, I'm thinking, or a playwright, rather, and if you have an idea and you haven't written it yet, that's okay. If you've written one page, that's fine. If you've written a whole play and then you want to run it by someone, that's fine too, you know? So you can extend that to any sort of art form. It doesn't have to be a fully formed work. It just needs to be a defined plan for what you aim to do within that those 3 months and why you want to develop the idea. But that's really it.
So that's very interesting. Just for clarity, so even like if you're interested in playwright, that means you are not necessarily going to be performing, but you are writing something for other people to perform, that's welcomed as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So essentially, because a lot of performance, I mean, of course, there's some performances that can be solo, right? So if you're a performance poet or a spoken word poet, you could do a solo dance performance. That's absolutely welcome as well. But I also think that there are many forms of performance that isn't a solo thing. So you could workshop a play. You could workshop an ensemble dance performance and, you know, just talk about what the narrative themes you want to develop are. I think actually, as Tom said, anything that has a live performance element. And we can only obviously have one person join the program, but the product doesn't have to be a solo product.
On the show with me today is Sharmila Ganesan and Tom Curtis, co-founders of Chiptasani Incubator. We continue our conversation after the break. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Sharmila Ganesan and Tom Curtis, co-founders of Chiptasani Incubator, a new artist development program for performance artists based in Malaysia. So, Sharmila, I want to talk about, you know, just because you've been, like you said, doing this for a couple of decades already, writing about the art scene, working
couple
with...
couple of decades, thanks.
I mean, it's more than 15 years for sure.
It's nearing a couple of decades, and I wear that proudly, I shall.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's you know, you've written about the art scene, you've worked with artists, you have done workshop. What are the key challenges of gaps you've observed in the Malaysian art scenes, particularly for performing artists, right? And how does... this program that y'all are doing, Chiptasani Incubator, aim to address these issues?
So I think a big challenge and probably the root of a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about is resourcing. We really don't have enough resources, or even I think the sustained interest to provide funding for something like artistic development. So a lot of artists, whether performance or otherwise, but for the purposes of this conversation, we're talking about performance artists. A lot of people kind of have the drive and the passion to do something. They may be fortunate enough to find a space that they can do it with, like a performing arts group, but all of them are also operating on fairly shoestring budgets, right? So I feel like, to go back to what I said earlier, a lot of times works get put out that were only ever worked on by the people involved in the production itself. And that's if you're lucky and there was a proper production. Sometimes it's just one person, sort of from inception of idea to when you see something on stage. And while that's actually admirable, because we actually have such a defined and diverse performance scene in Malaysia, despite the lack of funding, I often feel like we shouldn't have to operate that way. And so I'm hoping that this is the first step, really. I mean, this can't answer all of those problems, but I'm really hoping that the incubator can show us the value of working in this creative development process and to create that space for artists to workshop ideas, to have someone... in my case, I guess someone who comes from a criticism background, but in the example of Tom, someone who produces shows, who puts together programs and festivals, to be able to have that outside eye and to say, well, is this working? Who are we doing this for? Might there be another way to approach this? And I guess to see the value in that process, both for the artist, but also for the larger ecosystem. And I mean, honestly, people who have money who want to fund this sort of thing.
So on that note, could you walk us through the structure and components of the program? I think earlier you mentioned it's going to be about a 3 month long program. So if I sign up and I join this program, what can I expect during the duration of the 3 months?
So yes, it's going to be a hybrid program because we're working internationally, and it will begin in May. And basically the structure will be that the cohort of artists that we will bring together will meet three times as for group workshops online. The first time we'll be getting to know each other and sharing ideas. And the second and third time we will introduce some other perspectives and some guest speakers so that we will go on a bit of a journey. Those workshops will be broken up with one-on-one mentoring sessions with Shamila and myself. So each artist will have a chance to talk, delve deeper into their ideas, and we can help and support them. And then in September, we'll all come together for an in-person work in progress sharing event, which will be a great celebration, and we'll all be able to kind of see what people have been working on and developing, and there'll be an opportunity to present that in front of a live audience. So that's kind of the structure of the programme.
So that's so exciting. You know, at the end of it, so basically like I have, let's say if I have a script or if I have an idea, I come, then we'll work with, the artists will work together with y'all and other mentors, develop the idea, and then after the 3 months, they'll get to perform that idea in front of an audience. Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, but it'll be a work in progress performance. Yeah. So we don't want to put that kind of pressure on people to think, oh, right, you need to complete the work and have it ready to go in 3 months. Actually, we are hoping that even the quote unquote, we're calling it a live celebration. And we're hoping even that will be a way in which to feed into the development work, because the audience will be a more closed audience, and we'll solicit feedback from them, which will help the artists kind of further improve their work as well.
So one thing I noticed when you sent out your press releases, right, it's that it's translated in many languages, including Tamil. Was this a deliberate choice? And if so, why?
I actually am really hoping for Tom to talk a little bit more about accessibility and access, because I've learned so much from him about this. But I think maybe I'll start off by just talking about the local context first. This was actually something I learned from a fellow arts practitioner, Kevin Bathman, when he put out calls for several of his projects, that often we talk about wanting diverse participants, but we don't do enough for those calls to reach as many participants from diverse backgrounds as we can. And in Malaysia, I don't think we've done it all. I don't think we've done it, done it to the possible extent that we should be. But at least with the budget that we had and the resources we had available, I felt like having it in the four major languages in Malaysia for this iteration was important, so that people didn't feel like they couldn't participate just because the language of the call wasn't something that they could access.
Sharmila, I could be, maybe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm wondering if, you know, my impression is that one of the problems is that usually when it comes to these types of things, of course, there are, when we just look at, let's say, music or films or whatever, there is going to be all languages. Malaysia, you know, we have the Chinese music industry and the Tamil music industry and all of that. But when it comes to performing arts and you know, mentorship programs and all of that, it is sometimes skewed towards the English-speaking community. And it seems like y'all put in an effort to try and make it as inclusive as possible. Is that a fair assessment, Sharmila, that a lot of times this tends to be skewed towards the English-speaking community?
I think English and BM, right, or you know, Bahasa Malaysia, primarily because there are also organizations and institutions that work in BM as well. But yeah, you're right. I think we have to be honest and say that the program itself is only going to be run in English.
Right.
So we've said that you need to have working knowledge of English, but you certainly don't have to be at, you know, a native speaker level or whatever. But I agree. I think you're right that those channels of networking and mentorship are often more accessible in English and BM than they are in any of the other languages.
Tom, I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well. How important is the concept of, you know, safe spaces and support networks being inclusive when it comes to an artist's development?
I think it's incredibly important because we're inviting artists to come and share their ideas with us, and we're asking them to go on this journey. So I think it's the least we can do to ensure that that space that we're creating is comfortable, it feels safe. I think that's a really important word, so that they can take risks. You know, the whole point of this program is that we don't actually know where we're going to end up. And we're going to go on that journey with the artists. And for them to do that, we're going to need to build trust. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be making sure that trust is secured so that people have a chance to, you know, say, oh, I really like this idea. What do you think? Is this good? And then maybe the next time they go, no, actually, I've switched paths. And that's okay. And we kind of want to create a space where people feel allowed to fail. And that's a really important thing, I think, that this program will offer people, that actually it's fine if at the end you've not got to where you thought you would go, but you've gone down a slightly different path. That's absolutely fine. And it's part of this process. And thinking around access, you know, again, with the way that we presented the open call in different languages, we want really diverse perspectives to be part of this program. We want to invite those different, because it will be so much richer for it. And so anything that we can do to remove those barriers that we can kind of easily identify, like language, like accessibility, you know, we will try and do. And we've actually, you know, on the open call, there is an opportunity for people to get in touch if they have any access requirements. We're really open to speaking to people about them and seeing how we can navigate those together.
So talk to me a little bit more about that role of the mentorship within your program. Why is it important? Because I think sometimes people have this when people think of the arts, they're like, okay, all you need is talent and perhaps some luck and then you'll get your breakthrough. And if you don't, then, well, too bad. You know, don't think of being in the art scene, right? Talk to me about the importance of having that support system, that ecosystem.
So art is work, yeah? It is a job. It's a work.
Yes.
In other professions, you will have a line manager, you will have a work plan, you will have a professional development plan, and you will have all this support to kind of, you know, in training programs and things like that. So what we're doing with the incubator program is we're kind of adapting that model. And I think that's where the mentorship is so important, because Shamila and I will fulfill that role. We will become that critical friend. We will become that soundboard. And again, going back to that trust idea, where we can really support people through that journey. And I think that's what, correct me, Shamila, if that, but that's kind of how I'm seeing it, is where, you know, we're making sure that people feel that this is a professional development opportunity, and therefore we're taking it very seriously, like work, like any other job would.
No, I completely agree. And to add to that, see, in the UK or the US or many parts of Europe, in Singapore, there are very specific arts, tertiary arts institutions. And, you know, if you sign up for an MFA, the various theatre programs, for example, or performance programs, you would be exposed to this process just as a matter of course, as part of your studies. I'm not saying we don't have institutions that teach performance. I mean, Aswara does a great job. And even in the last 10 years, we've had great developments in various faculties. But one, a lot of them tend to be, you know, price-wise, a little bit less accessible for everyone. It's also not common yet for most people to go through an arts education and then come out to work in the field. So I think it is important in countries like Malaysia for there to be alternatives for these systems, right? Because again, in Europe or UK or the US, even theatre companies or you know, most of these spaces are run professionally, and they run as Tom mentioned, there are certain defined paths and people who make sure that these processes are put in place. In Malaysia, again, not because people don't want those there, and there are many people working in pockets who make sure that those exist, but perhaps not enough. And so this is our effort, I think, in expanding that sort of availability.
So as I understand, you know, it's mentorship is one aspect, and then y'all also have, you know, you're going to have group calls with guest speakers from the UK and Malaysian art sector. I think that's very exciting. How do you think this collaboration will enrich the experience of participants? And I'm talking about the UK-Malaysia collaboration in that sense. And also, what can people expect from that, you know, from these guest speakers and whatnot? Is it going to be like online sort of consultations? Is it going to be like recorded TED Talks? How does it work?
Yeah, so for the second and third group workshop, mm-hmm. we'll have different people from Malaysia and the UK coming to speak. And really, that's an opportunity for us to introduce different perspectives and also different kind of areas where we feel, or where we've identified certain strengths in each country sector. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is just inspire the artist to kind of go, oh, if I was to take this idea further beyond this program, maybe these are the things I want to look at. And what we'll be doing through those guest speaker opportunities is asking them to share resources and sharing free online websites and documents and things that can help inform their research. So really, it's just a way of broadening those horizons a little bit further from outside of what Shamela and I can do as the mentor. So we're just introducing those different perspectives. And then I'm sure we will invite the Malaysian guest speakers to the sharing event in September as well. We won't be able to do that with the UK ones, unfortunately.
actually, one thing I'm really excited about is the speakers that we have in mind from the UK. We can't reveal who our lineup is yet. But one of the things I'm really glad we are able to do is, I think, give our participants an idea of what these processes will look like on a more global scale. And I'm hoping that it'll also... So in terms of what that collaboration is between Malaysia and UK, I think there are some things that we could learn from a more professionalized scene like the UK. Mm-hmm. And because these are people that Tom has working relationships with, I think we're quite... it's great that we can have them alongside our local speakers as well, who are also actually people that I'm very excited about and very excited for our participants to hear from.
So, Yeah, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, and as a result, the artists who take part in the program, their network will grow. You know,
yes, absolutely.
Afterwards, they will become their network as well.
When is Cipta Seni Incubator? When is it? Who can apply, and how do people go about applying?
Well, okay, so the deadline's on the 12th of April. Mm-hmm. So, get hustling with all your applications. We expect them to pour in. You can essentially get the application details by logging on to bit.ly/CiptaSeni. That's CiptaSeni. You can also look up Cipta Seni Incubator on Instagram as well as Facebook. The application details are there as well. There's also a bunch of other resources there, like an FAQ, and also in terms, you can get in touch with us and ask us questions. You can email us at CiptaSeniIncubator@gmail.com with any questions at all. We've had people writing in just to make sure they qualify, whether their ideas count, whether their genre counts. We're very happy to respond. So yeah, get in touch, but we'd love to get your applications. Did I leave anything out, Tom?
No, that was perfect. I might apply.
So you can find, I will add all those links that Sharmila mentioned in the podcast description. So you can go to the BFM website and look for the links if you didn't catch it earlier. So before we wrap this conversation, Tom, Sharmila, would y'all have a final message for us in terms of, and why are y'all excited for Cipta Seni Incubator, and what can people expect from it as well?
I think I just would really encourage people to apply. Like, really don't self-limit. Just be bold, be brave, go for it. Because it's quite exciting not knowing where it will end up. And I think if that it interests you, or you're kind of not thinking, oh, am I right? Should I do it? Just go for it, because it could be a really defining moment in your career. I'm really excited to see who we end up with.
That actually covers a lot of what I wanted to say. We didn't get to this earlier, so I think I'll say it now. If you check out our application materials, you'll see that we are very, very open in terms of how you can apply. If you're not good with written proposals, you can send us a recording. If you're not good with just audio, you can do a video. They're very, very... I want to say very easy ways in which you can apply for this. We're only interested in your idea. Don't worry too much about how good your language skills are, whether you're good on camera. None of those things are what we're looking for. And in terms of what my hopes are, I'm actually really hoping that this snowballs more programs that prioritize creative and artist development and support for artists. I also hope somebody decides to give us more money to keep on running this thing, because I'd love to make it a regular feature.
Wonderful. And on that note, Sharmila, Tom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been great.
I've been speaking to Sharmila Ganesan and Tom Curtis, co-founders of Chipta Sunny Incubator. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can also check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.